So as a church, we believe in the spirit realm. So we believe that there's a natural realm that exists, and we also believe that there is a spirit realm. And because of that belief, we believe that what we do in worship and when we pray and when we hear the word, that that matters, that it has an impact far beyond what we see in the natural. And so a couple months ago, as leaders here at New Life, we began to identify that there were some things in the spirit realm that could be holding us back, that could be hindering our growth and some things we wanted to see. And we identified not that there was this battle going on in the sense of, oh, we're going to stop you from doing that. We actually identified that perhaps there were areas of sin that we needed to deal with. And so we met as leaders and church council after the service one day, and we took some time to pray through that and have been continuing to pray that way since. And then, as many of you know, the last 3 weeks, Ed and I got to be all over the map. So we went to the Lower Mainland to visit our granddaughter and to have some R&R time. We went to a church renewal conference in Steinbeck, Manitoba. And as we were there, that whole theme just continued to be reinforced that we need to deal with things in our life and things in the life of our church that may be hindering us, may be keeping us from receiving that God has, all that God has for us. Now, let me be clear. When we talk about the spirit realm and the fact that there's good and evil, these are not equally opposed forces. The enemy of our soul, Satan, has no power, no authority compared to that which God has. But he's certainly going to try. And so as we were at this conference, this continued to be reinforced. And then this week, I was on a leadership cohort call where there's about 46 of us that get together once a month and learn. And this theme once again emerged, this idea that we need to come to the Lord in repentance, and we need to come to the Lord so that we can be healed and restored. And I want to read to you something that I just read this morning as I was doing my Bible reading. And it's from Isaiah 64 through 66. I'm going to jump around a little, so don't worry too much about following along. We are constant sinners. How can people like us be saved? We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Yet no one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy, God. Therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. The Lord says, I was ready to respond, but no one asked for help. I was ready to be found, but no one was looking for me. I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. And then he goes on to say, God says, I will bless those who have a humble and contrite heart, who tremble at my word. But those who choose their own ways, delighting in their detestable sins, will not have their offerings accepted. And then I love this. He talks about that humility, that contrite spirit, that we come to the Lord in that. And he says, when we do, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they're still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. Isn't that what we want as a church? Wouldn't that be awesome? Before you even finish praying what you're praying for, the answer is there. We actually had witness of that this week with somebody where literally we were back and forth on Facebook Messenger. Would you pray for me? This is going on. And it was answered before we were even done the conversation. Just this amazing thing. But the thing is so often we allow things to accumulate that hinder us, and we forget to come to the Lord regularly in a posture of repentance and humility. Well, we're going to have a little fun to kick this off. So this means, for those of you who are coming because you are so excited to hear about salt and light, sorry, we're not doing that this week. This keeps resonating, and all week through prayer, it just kept resonating, and I thought, this is where we need to go. We can pick up where we left off. We had some wonderful speakers while I was away who set things up so well. We can jump back in next week. But anyone know who Marie Kondo, or Kondo is? Did I say that right? All right, few of you. She is this freaky cleaning guru lady. All right, so she goes in, and And I watched an episode, and like we're talking not just like organize your drawers, but fold it this way, this way, this way. It's like origami for clothing. I don't even know how she does it. But we're going to show you just a little trailer so I can catch all of you up who've never heard of this person, and then we're going to dig in. So, sure.
I have so much stuff.
It's a never-ending battle to fight the clutter.
With the baby coming, we got to get our stuff in order.
We had to downsize from a four-story house to a two-bedroom apartment.
I lost my husband. I don't know that I have everything it takes to get rid of his belongings.
I'm Maria Kondo. My mission is to make the world tidy. Let's start tidying.
This girl's no joke.
This is amazing.
We have too much stuff. It's official.
It's so hard to let it go.
I don't want to just, you know, dump it. I want to be thoughtful about it.
Choose items that spark joy for you.
Spark joy.
It's not as easy as I thought it was going to be.
We're on board. We want to change. I just want it to be strong enough to change me.
I can let it go. Arigato.
I am going to figure out what sparks joy in my life.
I can't believe you can touch the carpet.
New day, new joy.
Thank you for being here for us and wanting to help us.
I hope you know how much this means to me.
Here we go.
All right, so pretend with me for a moment, I'm saying pretend just so none of you go fan crazy, that Marie Kondo is here right now and she is coming to your house this afternoon. All right, Donnie's excited. On the count of three, out loud, all at once, what room are you taking her to first? Are you ready? Not on three, but just after three. One, two, three, my basement. All right. So you all thought of something. Would you turn with me if you have your Bibles or your phones here to 1 Peter? 1 Peter. So Marie Kondo, she comes in and she helps people with all of these places that have accumulated stuff and junk after years and years. And I believe the same is true with us in the spirit realm, that we accumulate junk, that we all have a spiritual junk drawer where things began to pile up. And Satan is relentless in his attack against us. He wants us to make choices that impair our relationship with God and that affect our witness to others. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, it says, "So you must live as God's obedience children." Oh, sorry, I'm going to start that again. I got distracted by my remote, realized it wasn't on. "So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, 'You must be holy because I am holy.'" Now, when we hear this, we can have a few possible responses. That idea of holy, perfection, how do we do that? We could say, well, I thought salvation was all about grace. Isn't it legalism that I have to achieve or try to walk in a way that's holy? Or we might say, I'm always messing up, and this just proves it. I'm never going to be good enough. There's no way I can achieve that. Or we could say, great, another thing on my to-do list. Next, you're going to tell me to pray and read my Bible and fast and do all of those things. Well, I might, just to warn you. Those are good things. But holiness is about being set apart. Many of us set things apart. Any of you have fine china? I don't actually have to slip my hand down. But I do have nice square plates that get set apart for special occasions. You might have a DVD that you set apart for specific family traditions, maybe at Christmas time. You might have certain coffee that you set apart that's specifically your coffee. Or in our house, we have food that's set apart because raising four boys, I used to go through the Costco lineup with a Sharpie and mark no, 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 because otherwise Christmas would come and it would all be gone. So we have things that we set apart for a purpose. And this is how God views us. We are cherished. We are something special to him, and we are to walk in our intended purposes. And when we walk in those purposes, it attracts the attention of the world around us. And if we allow sin to accumulate, if we build up all of these things in our junk drawer, it's like taking that fine china cup that you cherish, that you put out for its special purpose, throwing it in your junk drawer, and then bringing it out a year later, doesn't really have a lot of shine to it anymore, or a lot of luster, and it's no longer effective in being used at your formal table. Now, the nation of Israel was told again and again to be set apart in the Old Testament, to be holy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God of all the people on earth. The Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. Now the Lord didn't set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you and he was keeping the oath that he swore to your ancestors. And that is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Rescued from slavery and oppression. Isn't that like us? We were rescued from sin, from our past, from our rebellion against God. And we are now counted as his own special treasure, a holy people. I'm a big fan of Far Side, so this comic just kind of went for me with it. As Little Penguin, if you can't see it, saying, I got to be me, oh, I just got to be me. So set apart for God's own purpose. And this means that our conduct, our way of living, will look set apart from the world around us. As we pursue God, as we confess sin, the fruit of his spirit will become more and more evident in our lives. And this attracts attention. And sometimes we resist that. We think, well, how will we fit in if we look different? How will we relate? But you know what? We were actually never meant to fit in. That is a freeing thing. Guess what? You were never meant to fit in. If you feel like the odd one out, good. That is a good thing. We were not meant to fit in with the customs and behaviors of the world around us. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, here on this earth, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." Any of you royal watchers? Anyone follow the royal family? All right, just a couple. That's awesome. I'm not so much a watcher, but I do take an interest. And the royal family has protocol. So for example, in order to preserve the line to the throne, two members of the same family or two heirs are not allowed to travel together. So little George, when he becomes about the age of 12, will no longer be able to travel with his father at the same time in the same airplane or whatever. Another thing is royals are expected to serve their country in some manner, and that can often be in the military. No shellfish at royal dinners because food poisoning or allergies. None of those are good things. Prince Philip must walk two steps behind his wife out of respect for her title. Yeah, right? All right, ladies, this one's for you. Maybe men too. Legs and knees must be kept together, crossed at the ankles. I tried sitting like that when I was preparing this, and it's not very comfortable. You must stop eating when the queen does and puts down her fork. So if you're a slow eater or you just got started, too bad for you. You're done. When she puts down her fork, you are done eating. And last of all, autographs are not permitted because they don't want them forging signatures. Somebody takes the autograph and, I don't know, signs a check for all the money in the UK. I don't know how that works, but no autographs permitted. The royal family is to be set apart. They are being groomed for rulership. They have the eyes of the world on them. And this is true of us as well. We are to be set apart. We are being groomed to rule and reign with Christ. And we have the eyes of the world on us. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So what happens if we allow sin to accumulate, if we allow those things to build up in our lives? This is a picture of a bridge that is near the Lower Mainland. So Ed and I have driven across this bridge many, many, many times. It's down in Burlington, Washington, and it's a part of the I-5. So perhaps you've driven across this bridge too. And a number of years ago, this bridge collapsed, and 5 cars went into the river. Nobody was hurt. Just amazing. Everybody was fine. But what happened is a truck, as it was crossing, hit the girder of one of the, you know, at the top of the bridge. And the whole bridge went down. And they were trying to figure out how in the world could a bridge collapse just by one little hit. Well, there were weaknesses in the structure to begin with. There were things that went unidentified and weren't repaired, and it caused the structure to collapse. And the same is true with us. If we allow sin to accumulate, it weakens the overall structure. How many of you have experienced when you say yes to that one temptation, how much easier it is to say yes to the next and the next and the next? And before you know it, you're stuck and you're in over your head. And God doesn't intend for it to be that way. He gives us the chance to get rid of that accumulation. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 says, if we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. The bottom line is that life has a way of causing sin and junk to pile up. And today we need to go all Marie Kondo on it. We need to just clean house. And in her thing, she says, keep the things that spark joy. Don't do that, because sin often sparks joy in a moment, right? We just want to get rid of it all. And I'm so thankful that God makes that so easy for us to do. I've been doing something just as a part of my daily prayer time and Bible reading, and it's called the Daily Examine, and it's a tradition of Jesuit priests way back when. And it's where at the end of the day, you take time to recall where you've seen God's presence, to thank him, to look at tomorrow and say, God, where do you want to be in my life tomorrow? And also to express sorrow for sin or regrets. Do you know what's scary? Is that every single day, I have something to confess. I have something to ask God forgiveness for. And it breaks my heart to think that before I was doing this, how much had accumulated and piled up. And we had a chance at the Spiritual Renewal Conference, crazy chance, for 12 plus 7, 19 hours of coming before the Lord and confessing sin and repenting. How crazy is that? 19 hours, and I'm like, all right, we're good for another year, right? No. Every day, God is highlighting an area that needs to be dealt with. Can I challenge you this morning to pursue God and stop accumulating junk, to stop letting sin rule in your life? One of the speakers on our cohort call this week, Scott Inganeri from Awaken Ministries Foursquare, said, wherever people repent, there will be revival. We have been praying for revival as a church. We have been praying for growth as a church. But church, we need to come to the Lord in humility and repentance first, and revival and growth will flow out of that. 2 Chronicles 7:14, one you may be very familiar with. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. We need to be restored as individuals and as a church, because this junk accumulates over time. We have a bright future as a church. I am excited about what God wants to do and what I know he's going to do. But we want to start this process with humility and repentance and saying, God, would you clean us? Would you wash us clean? And would you replace that with your love, with the power of your Holy Spirit to stand against sin so that we can embrace all you have for us and so that we can be set apart for your purposes. 1 Peter 4:3 says, you have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness, and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Have you had enough? Have we had enough? And not just these things. Have we had enough of bad attitudes? Have we had enough of gossip? Have we had enough of addictions and dependencies? Have we had enough of sexual impurity? Have we had enough of idol worship, of putting other things before God? Titus 2:11 to 14. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. So here's what we're going to do this morning, church, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. First of all, we're going to do a time of examine, and I'm just using that fancy word to say we're just going to humble ourselves before the Lord. And I'm going to invite you to do that up here at the altar. This is a great place. I've become very familiar with this place. It is a safe place. And I invite you, if you want to come and just kneel before the Lord, that you can do that here. If kneeling is not possible for you, if that's uncomfortable, you can remain in your seats and just a posture of humility. The next thing we're going to do is simply confess. Say what God says about our sin. Confession is agreeing with him. You know what? God, I get now that that attitude was wrong. I get that I missed the mark by taking hold of that. And it's confessing and saying the same thing he does. The next thing is repent. And it means do a 180-degree turn away from sin. Now, the thing is again, junk accumulates. How many of you have cleaned your junk drawer only to go back a year later and it's full again, right? Yeah. So this could be something you start today and may need to do again tomorrow. God, I'm still working on this. I confess. I bring it to you. Would you clean me? Would you wash me? And the Bible says, it says what we read it this morning, when you do, you will receive healing and restoration. If we look all through the New Testament, how many times did Jesus say, your sins are forgiven, now take up your mat and walk? He is so very concerned with our spiritual being, not just our natural being. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you in this posture of repentance. James 4:8-10 says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you've done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief, sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Now, we can concentrate on that first part and go, wow, that's a really depressing scripture. But God is saying, when you come, when you confess, when you repent, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lift you up in honor. And that word honor means raise, lift up, set on high, which goes back to that whole thing of being set apart for God's purpose. How many of you want to be set apart for God's purpose fresh and new this morning? Anyone? All right. I'm not alone up here? Good, good. And some of you were caught off guard. So this altar is open this morning, and I'm going to invite you to come, humble yourself before the Lord. We'll let the song play through once or twice, and then I'll come up and close the service. But would you bow your heads with me now, and let's just begin to allow the Lord to speak to us. And some of you, may have never actually come to the Lord before with your sin and asked for forgiveness. Perhaps you don't even know what it's like to follow the Lord. And what I love is God promises in His Word that He is our Savior and our friend. That when we come to Him and acknowledge that He is Lord, when we come and ask Him to forgive our sins, He does that immediately. And we have new life in Him. We have a fresh start. So I want to invite you, first of all, before we open the altar, if you're here this morning and you have never made a decision to follow the Lord, we're promised an eternity in heaven, a forever friendship, and that we are washed clean. If you would like to respond this morning and say, yes, I want to receive the Lord as my personal Savior, I'm just going to ask you right where you are to slip up your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone like that this morning? Right. So you can go ahead and just put your hand down and we're going to pray together. And church, would you repeat after me as we pray so that we can support this individual that raised their hand? So Lord, I come to you and I ask you to forgive my sins. I believe that you came and died on the cross to make me clean. I believe that you promised me an eternity in heaven. And I believe that you are Lord. So God, I come to you now and I surrender my life to you and I ask you to make me clean. And Lord, I will follow you all of my days. In your name, amen.